Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, How Confident Can We Be That Jesus Is the Christ by the Authority of His Words? And I want to ask, how can we be sure that Jesus is the one and only true Savior of the world and the true Christ of the one and only God? And did anyone else have words with authority like they were God, as Jesus Christ did?
Grace to you and peace from God and from Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing our sermon series this morning on proving that Jesus is the Christ, the true Christ. Now, we all believe that, but as we've said in other weeks, there are many people in the world who are equally convinced as we are that their man is the man to follow. We believe it's Jesus, and the Muslims would say Muhammad, the Hindus would say Krishna, or whatever other god they choose. The Buddhists would say Buddha is the man to follow, and they're just as convinced as we are that their man's to follow as we are. So how do we know that we are right, that Jesus is the Christ, the man to follow? Well, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the prophecies, and we compared the prophecies that pointed to Jesus with the others, and Jesus trounced the competition. He creamed them. There was not even, it was a rout. It was like 74 to nothing in 20 minutes. And then you had, last week, we looked at the miracles, the signs and wonders. Jesus creamed them again. It was a rout. He won hands down. And then today I'd like to look with you at proving Jesus is the Christ by his words, by the things that he spoke. Now, this is a little harder to prove because miracles are out there for everyone to see. The prophecies are out there for everyone to see. But words, either you like them or you don't. A lot of people don't like his words. I love Jesus' words, but his words even so prove, and I'll show you, that Jesus is the one and only true Christ, the one Savior of the world, the man to follow. And so let's take a look today why I believe that Jesus' words prove that he is the Christ. What can we say of that? Well, first of all, consider that no man ever spoke like this man. We get there in John chapter 7. Jesus, the chief priests and the scribes were trying to arrest Jesus. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of this guy. They were jealous of him. And Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast in public and said things like this. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him who comes to me drink. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And many such things he said. Well, the chief priests had sent officers, the police, if you will, to arrest Jesus. They went and heard all of his words, and what happened? We hear after this, verse 45, the officers then went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, why didn't you bring him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that they went there? I mean, these guys are officers. These are the police. These are soldiers, professional. They've been trained in this. This is their duty. This is their vocation. This is not the first guy they've ever arrested. They have the authority to do it. And they go and hear this guy speak, and he blows them away. He blows them away. It's just they can't take it. And he's so persuasive and powerful and amazing in his speech that when, notice what the Pharisees say. The Pharisees answered the officers, are you led astray, you also? They go there to arrest Jesus, and Jesus arrests them with his words. He just blows them away. And their answer to the Pharisees was, no man, O chief priests, no man ever spoke like this man. That's why we couldn't arrest him. Isn't that amazing that this is your Lord, that the words he speaks, remember, he's the word through whom all things are made, so he's going to be powerful. so blew them away that they could not do anything against him. I found that amazing. And then secondly, it's not just that he spoke with no one ever else spoke, but he spoke with authority. When he spoke, it was not like the people were used to hearing, or like you might hear from, Muhammad or Krishna or Buddha or someone like that. Jesus' words came with authority. And let's look at that for a second. He spoke as if he were from heaven and were declaring things he'd seen and heard. Here we read in John chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus says to the Jews, "I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." And they said, "Well, what, is he going to kill himself since he says I'm going away and you can't come? Well, what's he mean by this?" And Jesus says, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." And then he says, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as the Father taught me." And he says also, "He who has sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." So nobody ever else spoke like this guy or claimed to be from heaven. Okay, Muhammad, he was out there, in the desert, in the cave. He met a spirit. He thought it was the devil, an evil jinn, an evil spirit. And his wife, he goes home to his wife, Khadija, and she says, no, it's the angel Gabriel. Go listen to him, and we get the Quran. Okay, an angel, even not a good one, apparently. And then you get Buddha. He gets his stuff from a silent meditation. You get Confucius. He gets his from his contemplations. Jesus, no man ever spoke like this man. He says, "I am from heaven, and I have seen the Father, and I speak to you what I've heard from him." That is like no one ever spoke before, right? So his word came with authority. And he could say things like, "Everyone who builds his life on my word will be like a man who built his house upon a rock. And then the stormy wind came, and the rains beat against that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded upon the rock of my word. But if anyone hears these words and doesn't do them, he's a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rains and the stormy wind blew and beat against the house, and great was the fall of it." I mean, that is a word with authority. No man, I'll tell you, ever spoke like this man. Everybody else is like, "I think, I feel, this is my perspective." Jesus says, "This is the truth I heard straight from God, and his words ring true." Oh my goodness, this is amazing. No man ever spoke like this man. And we read in Matthew 7, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." But what kind of authority did Jesus come with? You ever heard of that old phrase, E.F. Hutton talks, what happens? People listen, right? Well, when Jesus talks, things happen. Whatever he says comes to pass. Would you say that no man ever spoke like him? Take, for example, this one. We could look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus is here in a synagogue at Capernaum. In chapter 4, verse 31, he went down to Capernaum, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching. For his word, it says here, was with authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out, saying, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And watch this. The people were amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Have you ever known anybody like this? All right. Nobody else. Muhammad didn't have this. Krishna, no. Buddha, no. Nobody else. Nobody else has words like this man where what he says comes to pass. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says one word, "Ephatha," which means "be opened." And a man who never spoke his whole life, all of a sudden, his tongue was unloosed, and he sang for joy. Spoke. Jesus went to a funeral in Luke chapter 7, and the funeral's coming out of the city, and the young man is in the casket, or it's called funeral bier, which sounds like a Lutheran thing, but no, it's just the funeral bier is what it's called. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and spoke. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus is in a stormy situation on the sea. And the winds are raging and the dark clouds are flying and the flung spray is going this way and that. And Jesus stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And all the waves calmed down and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. No man ever spoke like this man. Amen? That's our Lord, Jesus Christ. He speaks and it comes to pass. I think that's amazing. And then his words also were in a total accord with Scripture. Thousands of years of prophecy all were fulfilled in Jesus, by Jesus, and he spoke in accordance with them. And no one knew Scripture and insight into them like Jesus. He could say things like, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks lustfully at a woman has committed adultery with her in his heart." He could see into the Scriptures the deeper meaning of them. And when people tried to get him and catch him at what he said based on Scriptures, they were always confounded. Take, for example, Mark chapter 12. We read here the Sadducees came to Jesus. These people don't even believe in the resurrection, okay? They're like liberal Christians of the day, you know, jokers who, you know, have Scriptures. They pretend to be faithful, but they don't really believe the Scriptures. So they're coming to test Jesus. And they say, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us," here they quote the Scripture, "that if a man dies and leaves a wife but leaves no child, the man must take the wife, raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. Each of them took the wife. No one had children." They say, it says, "In the resurrection then, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her." They think they've got Jesus, you know, because according to the seven guys that had this wife, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? So they're trying to make Jesus look like a fool. And what does Jesus answer? "Is this not why you are wrong, that you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised," because they didn't believe that, and he knew that, "have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He's not God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong." Isn't that great? You can't beat Jesus when it comes to understanding the Scriptures. And so that's another proof to me. Not only did he fulfill the Scriptures, the prophecies, he spoke the Scriptures, he enhanced and gave insight into them, and when anybody tried to catch him at them, he had the answer right there before they even opened their mouths. This is our God. No man ever spoke like this man whom we believe in and follow. And then we hear nobody could trap him by his words. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to off him. They wanted to kill him, get him out of the way, destroy this guy. He's gaining in popularity. How do we stop this Jesus? So they're very crafty, you see. And it says they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might take hold of what he said so as to deliver him up to the authority and the jurisdiction of the governor. So they're coming there as spies to trap him at his words, to catch at something he might say. And what did they say? They took him up in this public setting, and they go, "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher who speaks rightly, and speak and teach rightly, and you show no partiality. You teach the way of God." Yeah, right, that's not what they believe. They say, "Is it lawful for us to pay tribute to Caesar or not? To pay taxes?" You see how they're setting him up here? Totally. Nobody could get out of this except Jesus. Because if he says, "Don't pay taxes to Caesar," then he's in trouble with Caesar, and then the guards are going to kill him, the soldiers. And if he says, pay taxes to Caesar, then the people are going to hate him, and they'd want to kill him, because he'd seemingly be going against God. And so it's the ultimate conundrum, the great puzzle to destroy the master. And what does Jesus say? Untroubled in the least, he says, in a command, by the way, "Show me a coin." I give him a coin. He holds it up. "Whose likeness and inscription has this?" They say, "Caesar's." "Then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Hands it back. And it says here, They were not able, in the presence of the people, to catch him by what he said. But marveling at his answer, they were silent. Isn't that great? No man ever spoke like this man, our Lord Jesus, the Word of God. That's why I follow him. Mohammed said nothing like this. Krishna none, Buddha none. Mohammed and the others had a few little sayings here and there, but nothing like this man. Nothing like this man. And here was the ultimate trap. Another early morning, Jesus got up and went down to the temple where he liked to sit and teach and pray and teach all day long. Well, the Pharisees again had a trap. And they brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What do you say about her?" Do you think they cared about this woman? Not at all. It was probably a setup. Maybe one of their own men was sleeping with her in order to catch her in the act so that they could put her in the midst. I don't know. But the point is they were going to try to destroy Jesus once again. Because if he lets the woman go, he's showing that he's not a true prophet because he's against the law of Moses, right? But if he goes with stoning her, then he's in trouble again with the Roman authorities. It's a catch-22. He can't get out of it. He's cornered, they think. Ha ha! You can just see them with glee, almost like ravening lions, salivating, ready to destroy him. "What's your answer, Jesus? Give us an answer." And what's he do? He bends down, begins writing with his finger on the ground very calmly. And they continue to press him. "Give us an answer, Jesus." And he looks up and he says, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone at her." And then he goes down and bends and writes with his finger again on the ground. And each of them goes away, beginning with the eldest, dropping their stones and walking away until Jesus is left all alone with the woman. Now, come on, friends. No man ever spoke like this man. Amen? You cannot get this guy. He upholds the law of Moses and saves the woman at the same time, when in fact there was no way, according to logic, he could do this. But he does it. He knew the way because no man ever spoke like him. He is the Christ, is what my point is. And here's the thing I love the most. Of all the people that ever spoke in the world, it's his words in which I find love and grace and kindness like the world has never, ever heard or seen of before. You know, Buddha had his little sayings. Krishna, who didn't even exist, had his little sayings. Muhammad says, "Slay the woman in adultery," right? Just kill her outright, stone her. No mercy, just aggression and murder, or law and kill her. Jesus, then, with the woman, when they went away, Jesus was left all alone with the woman. He said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No one, Lord." He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." Isn't that your Savior? Where else, I'm telling you, are you going to find words of love like this that the world has never heard of? He's from above. We're from below. He knows love. His kingdom is love. He speaks words of grace to people like as the world's never seen or heard anywhere else. This is why I believe in him. He says to a man who is a paralytic, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven you." That's beautiful. To the woman who is crying, that woman, that great sinner, probably a prostitute, at the Pharisee's house, remember in Luke 7? Jesus says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you." Isn't that beautiful? He spoke harsh words to those who didn't repent. "Woe to you, O Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you." That's pretty hard, isn't it? Against those who do not repent. But then to those who do repent, what does he say? The most beautiful words ever spoken. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, burdened with your sins. Come to me and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I believe in him because of his love. I'm never going to find this anywhere else. You can go the world over, Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, you know, whatever. They're not going to speak like this man, Jesus, spoke. And I'll remind you something here, that Jesus said his words came with the seal of the authority of the living God behind them. Jesus said, it says, the Jews marvel at Jesus' teaching, John 7, saying, how is it that this man has this learning when he's never studied? He never went to school, to seminary, which, by the way, wrecks a lot of people, okay? But he never studied. How does he speak like this? And Jesus answered, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he'll know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Jesus claimed to get it straight from God. So when I'm declaring to you salvation in his name, I'm declaring to you something that comes not with my authority or even Jesus's, but with God's through Jesus, through me to you. Therefore, you have a solid rock for your hearts to take courage. And God gave, according to Isaiah 50, a word, a tongue to Jesus of those who are taught, that he might know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. And I believe in him because he has words to me of salvation. Let me ask you a question. Where else in all the world are you going to find someone to bear your sins? Okay? Muhammad never claimed to do that. Nope, didn't at all. Krishna didn't claim to bear your sins away. Buddha never claimed to carry your sins away. Buddha says, just stop feeling things and detach yourself. That's your salvation. Not. Jesus alone bore our sins away. And he said words like this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, ever die. This comes with the authority of God. Isn't that great? No man ever spoke like this man. Where are you going to find words like this? Where Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You're from below. I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you, you'll die in your sins unless you believe that I'm he. But if you do believe that I'm he, you will be saved. You will live. For truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. He does not and will not come into judgment. He's passed out of death into life. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus, when he died for our sins on the cross, and he rose again from the dead on the third day, said this to his disciples. This is his word. This is what he spoke. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Repentance, and then believing in him, forgiveness of sins. Do you believe that today? Do you believe the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? When he says, you come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you life. I'll forgive your sins. I'll redeem you. And I'll lift you up, like we said in the children's message, to lift us up and to make us rise up above the waters and be rescued. You know, Muhammad said, keep the five pillars and be saved. It's up to you. Buddha said, you know, detach yourself from all your emotions and you'll be saved. It's up to you. All the others say, it's up to you. Jesus says, no, it's up to me. You come to me, and I will lift you up, just like Peter, when he's sinking in the sea, called out, Jesus, save me, and outstretches Jesus' hand and lifts him up out of the water. And that is Jesus' promise, unlike anybody you'll ever hear in all the world. Nobody ever said, come to me and believe in me, and I'll save you. Jesus, no man ever spoke like this man. And so I believe in him. I want you to know that's my faith. And I've seen his words. I love his words. You know, you're either going to like him or not like him. I love his words. And I found that his word does good to him who walks uprightly. To him who lays hold of it, it is a rock. My life was a zigzag, then it became straight line and on a rock. Not easy, but a rock. And a straight passage, because he fulfills his word. And he says, John 12, I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandments, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me. And I declare to you today his word, eternal life in Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. So when it comes to a competition, a match between Jesus and all comers, by the prophecies, Jesus trounces his competition. By the miracles and signs and wonders he performed, he creams them. And by his words, he wins the day hands down once again. And I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to the day when I hear from his lips coming this beautiful word, the king will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Confident Can We Be That Jesus Is the Christ by the Authority of His Words? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.